Some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this day. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Don. One could say after reading a story like that, the Gospel of Matthew, that fake news started long before we hear about that in the news a lot today, that phrase that has been coined, fake news. Right here in the text, in the Gospel of Matthew, there was a story that was circulated to try and tamp down the joy that might come to those who realize this one who was dead and who was in a tomb rose from the dead. And this story was shared so that many others could perhaps look at this and realize, especially the religious leaders, that this just couldn't be. This story here. Of course, my question about that whole story was, where's your proof? You should have been able to find the body somewhere. Well, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead is what he did. You know, in today's world, it is unfortunate, but in today's world, there are many that don't have tremendous trust in the news. I pulled an article out from about a year ago, and I think the statistics are even worse now than they were even then. It says back in 2018, 72% of Americans believe that the traditional major news sources reports, they know them to be fake, false, or purposely misleading. Poll also found that 2/3 of those polled say fake news is usually reported because someone has an agenda. Trust in the media in 1976 was 74%. Today, it's about a quarter, or even less sometimes. Trust in the media. And it brings to me, to mind, a question that I have. What is, where do we get our information for life, for living, for whatever it is we need to do? Well, we are a part of an information overload world today, aren't we? We can find answers to whatever. Yeah, we're going to get to that one. Someone held up the Bible. That's a very good answer. You know, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, the newspapers. Of course, the kids nowadays don't even know what a newspaper is anymore because, you know, their newspaper is those kinds of things. Twitter, Google. You know, we can Google anything. Well, we get information from family, friends, teachers. Science, although even science itself, I believe, is skewed and tainted so many times with preconceived notions that are brought to the table, making science say something that maybe it's not even intended to say. Of course, I talked about the TV news. But there's also the Church of Jesus Christ. There's the Bible. Those are places, those are sources where we can go to find what truth is. And people look at all these things I just mentioned with a various amount of trust or distrust, weighting some maybe more than others. My question this morning is, how do we know what is true? How do we know what is truth? Because living in a world where we don't have a whole lot of trust in the information that we receive, there are a lot of people out there that don't really trust much anything. And so it's to each their own. You see, today's world says that truth is relative. My truth, your truth, our truth. Don't know where their bedrock is. Don't know where their foundation is. It's just, I believe this to be because it sounds right to me. So we're supposed to just live and let live and just kind of let all that stuff kind of go. You know, I'm reminded of a couple verses in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, where it says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Or in the NIV, it says everybody did what they saw fit. And so we live in that world today. I think sometimes where it's the same kind of an atmosphere. And we're going to do what is right in our own eyes. We're going to do whatever it is we see fit. We're going to call truth what fits my scenario. You know, it was interesting. This morning, I took a brief moment, and I think there's little God incidences that happen every now and then in our lives, and I believe they aren't coincidences, they're God incidences. I saw a post on Facebook this morning. I thought, that's a part of what the message is all about this morning. It was from one of our own here in church, and she knows who I'm talking about. When I quote this, God is not going to rewrite the Bible just for your generation. The Word remains the same forever and always. Something to be thought about here this morning. Because we live in that world where your truth may not be my truth and my truth may not be your truth. It just so happens that there are many, it's a heartache to me to realize how many people I come in contact with in the circles that I might be in religious circles oftentimes, that will even say things like, there are portions of the Bible that really ought not to be believed, but there are other portions that you should believe in. And you know what I find kind of interesting is the portions that we don't want to believe in are the portions where there's something said in that portion that I'm not really comfortable with. Isn't it convenient how you and I sometimes will say, well, this is truth to me because it fits my agenda. It fits where I'm at. It fits what I am all about. Be careful, folks. Living in a world where we're trying to figure out where truth is. I believe with all my heart, and it is a by faith proposition. But I believe in my own heart, the Word of God in its totality is the truth. And we need to live by the truth of God's Word. The Bible is truth where it speaks to science. It is confirmed by science. I said where it speaks to science, it is confirmed by science. You know, the study of science was started out by those who were believers who wanted to find out a little bit more about God's work in what is around us and in nature and all those kinds of things. It was a field of study that was started by those who were trying to find out a little bit more about God and us and it. And yet it devolved into something in today's world where oftentimes the preconceived notion is we start with the fact that all of these things can be explained entirely by human beings. And preconceived notion is we need to exclude in that endeavor then a creator. And yet we go to science as believers in Jesus Christ because we believe in the Word of God, and we go to science and realize there was a creator God at the beginning. And so we can look at science. And I really encourage you sometime, if you have never done it, go to the museum in Kentucky, the Ark, and then the museum that's about Creation Museum is about 30, 40 miles away from there. They're fairly close to each other. And looking at all of what has been created through the lens of a God who created. And it's amazing how science affirms the one who we believe in, God Himself. I think where the Bible speaks to geography, it's confirmed by those who study just that. Time and time again, I read stories in different publications about, there's recently been some digging up around a place that looked to be like Jericho and the fallen walls in the Old Testament. And it seems to be where they thought it would be in the Bible, and there you go. What do they find? Time and time again, when archaeology and all those studies, separate fields of study, confirm time and time again, if you'll let it go where it naturally would go, confirming what the Bible has already said. I mean, the Bible doesn't speak exhaustively to science. It wasn't intended to do that. It was intended to share the story of God. But where it speaks to what it says is truth, it is confirmed. It is confirmed. Linguists will argue it's by far the most accurate ancient text ever discovered. These are linguists that will even say that they don't have an agenda. They don't have a God agenda at all. Linguists who look at the study of ancient texts will look and say all these other ancient texts that we look at, like the Iliad and the Odyssey and Shakespeare, that isn't quite far so back. You look at those and all the copies that are scattered all over the place. There are a lot of mistakes and a lot of variants to these copies, and it's hard to determine really what the original might have actually said, because it's hard to know where the originals are in those cases. But yet when it comes to the Bible, all over the place they'll find manuscripts and pieces of manuscripts of certain texts of the Bible, and whatever they do and they put them together, the accuracy is like 99.9%. And almost always when there's some variant one way or the other, it's because of things that you and I do when we copy. Like I might use the word the twice, or a misspelling or something like that. The truth is the truth, and it's been preserved, I believe, by God Himself. He wanted to preserve this for us, because it shares a story that is eternal, a story that we can believe in. Its stories are witnessed by many. Paul makes a point of saying that when it comes to those who witnessed Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He said, well, there were 500 together at one time that saw the risen Christ. And, you know, how could that be a mass misunderstanding of the risen Christ? You see, the Bible has never been proved false. Yet, we live in a world where there are distortions. We lived in a world even back then where the guards themselves, who knew they would be in trouble for guarding that tomb, and somehow, some way, as they fell asleep and Jesus came out of the tomb, they knew that they had blown it. And in fact, they could have been killed for this offense of not guarding the tomb like they should have been. And so, the chief priests and those who had a vested interest in Jesus' death being a death and not a risen from the dead kind of situation came up with this scheme, the story. And yet some would believe it to be true. Where's the proof? Where's the body? That's what I say. It was an empty tomb. He rose from the dead, and it was witnessed to by many. By faith, I believe it's true, and all of us have to take some kind of a leap. That leap is very, very small for some. It has been for me. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was fed this right from the time I was a little kid. And my leap of faith was very small, but nonetheless, it was a leap of faith. For some, that leap of faith is gargantuan. Maybe because of what they have been fed their whole life. Maybe the things that they've been told their whole life, and it's a hard leap to take. But no matter what it is, no matter what your belief system may be, it still takes a leap of faith. If you want to believe there is no God, that takes a leap of faith. If you want to believe that God is this hodgepodge of a whole bunch of different religions, you can take that leap of faith. But to me, the proof is in the pudding. To me, the proof is in the Word. To me, when I look at God's Word and I look at the witnesses to God and the witnesses to Jesus Christ, and I look as both the Bible tells us and history tells us, these apostles that followed Him, almost every one of them died a martyr's death. They died for their faith. They must have really believed it. And I believe it too. There are eyewitnesses to what happened. And these are the stories we share and we hear and we read in the four Gospels. And then Paul and other authors who talk about the early church. But yet we are warned from time and time in Scripture to be careful of those who want to share things that aren't true. They want to share in the letter to Timothy what our itching ears want to hear. And we live in a world today where we are prone to that. We want to hear what our itching ears want to hear. We want to hear the kinds of things that will affirm the way I'm living and what I'm doing. And yet the Bible is the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Be careful of changing God's Word to match what culture says. It's a dangerous thing. It's a slippery slope. The good news is only good news to those who embrace it. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is only good news to those who will embrace it. You can trust what is written. It is God-inspired. Salvation is not a crapshoot, folks. It's a promise backed up by a series of God-ordained events to save us. So be careful. And how can we be careful? For one, we need to believe and trust the author, who is ultimately God, who used these human beings, inspired by him, to write these wonderful words down. The messenger of that, although the author is God, the messenger of that is the Holy Spirit. And the guarantor of that is Jesus Christ. And the recipient is anyone who will believe and trust in his saving grace. Folks, it behooves us, as I close this morning, to be people of the Word so that we know what truth is. Because there are a lot of voices out there that can confuse. There's a lot of charismatic voices out there that can say something different than what the Word of God says. And if we allow ourselves to go down that path, I ask you, where's your anchor? Where's the bedrock for your faith? It is either the truth or it's not. You can either accept it or reject it. There's not a third option there. I'll take some of it, but not all of it. It's not an option. It's I believe it. Are rejected. And you can reject it. I'll love you anyway. God loves you anyway. Oh, is it good news? It is good news to know that God came to save a sinner like me. That Jesus died not as an example, but as an answer to sin. And he rose again, that even a sinner like me can stand before God in confidence. And he can say to me, Dave, why should I let you in? And all I need to say is because of Jesus. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, God. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. The real news is right here in His Word. It's not fake. Let's trust His Word and trust in Him. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your Word that is true. Thank you for those who are witnesses to the one you sent, Jesus Christ, to come. Thank you for their faithfulness to record as inspired by you the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for your Word, both Old and New Testament. And thank you that it is great news, not fake news. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy and wonderful name we do pray. Amen.